We return to the 58th question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question 58. What is required in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to himself. The first table of the law, which comprises the first four commandments, have respect to God. And they teach us in the first that it is required that only the true God be worshipped. In the second, that all worship must be prescribed by him and not by us. In the third, that there is to be reverence in all our solemn approaches in worship. And in the fourth, that a specified time each week is to be set aside for the worship of his name. We have been considering the 58th question for several weeks, and thus far I have made two points. The first is, with respect to the keeping of the Sabbath day, this is a command. It is the fourth commandment as the answer to the 58th question. States, God is the Lord of time. Our time is not our own. And the scripture determines which part of our time is for worship. Under the Mosaic legislation, there were various times set apart by divine appointment. And you'll read of them in such a chapter as Leviticus 23. The Passover. The Pentecost. The Tabernacles. Among the yearly festivals. And others too that were monthly. And these are referred to, no doubt, in the first part of our answer, such set times as he is appointed in his word. But these ceremonial feasts have been discontinued since the whole ceremonial law has been abrogated, leaving for Christian believers one day, which is mentioned at the end of that commandment, expressly or especially one day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to himself. The Puritans were wont to say that the only red letter day on the Christian's calendar is the Sabbath day. And that is my position, and the position to which we are committed here, that there are no other festivals or feasts or days or seasons to be observed as sacred, only the Sabbath day. This is then a command. Secondly, this is a moral command. The Sabbath is said to be a set time in a more definite and sacred sense than others. One whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath. We notice again that word expressly, the special stated time, because it continues after the ending of the ceremonial law, the special stated time, is the keeping holy of the Sabbath. And the reason why it survives the change from the old to the new is because it is not ceremonial. It is moral. It's part of the law which concerns not Jewish worship, but human behavior. And when we say this command is moral, we mean, of course, that it was there from the beginning, instituted on the seventh day at the end of that creation week, before ever there was any ceremonial law, before ever the fall took place, before ever the promise of the gospel was given. God ordained the Sabbath day. And that is why the fourth commandment appears with the other nine in what we call the Decalogue, or the Ten Words, because it is different from the Levitical laws and from the ritual laws of the Jews. This is the moral law of God. And I have a third point to make this morning. The first was, this is a command. The second, this is a moral command. And the third is, this is an important moral command. And the importance of the fourth commandment can be brought out by considering several things. First of all, it is the only commandment with a memento, as it were, at the beginning. I refer to that little word, remember, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. The word is highly significant. It shows us, for example, that the Sabbath predates the law of Sinai, because God's people were told to remember it as if it was something in their knowledge already, something in their experience already. But it also suggests that this is a solemn matter. John Willison of Dundee, the great Scottish minister, said in his commentary on the Shorter Catechism, referring to that word remember, it is as if God says, forget what you will, but forget not this. And that underlines the importance of the fourth commandment. Secondly, it is the longest of the Ten Commandments. And that is true in the Hebrew as in the English. It is the longest. And why is such emphasis given to it, so that it is lengthy and full? Because in God's eyes, it is so important. Thirdly, it is delivered positively and negatively, which is not true of any other commandment. I mean positively when it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what we are positively to do, to keep it sacred, to keep it in a godly manner. That's the positive. But then the negative. In it thou shalt do no work. So the commandment is, as it were, locked with two bolts, a positive and a negative, which makes it altogether unique. And a cursory glance at the other commandments will show that this is not true of any other. Fourthly, it has more reasons attached to it than any of the other commandments. The reasons attached to the fourth commandment are such as equity. God says, 6 days thou mayest work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It is a matter of equity. If God appoints six for us, that we do not complain if he asks one for him. Secondly, bounty. God himself gives generously to man. Six of the seven parts of the week. And for that reason, we should not demur in keeping the Sabbath. And thirdly, pattern. The third reason is that God himself worked 6 days in the creation week, and he rested on the seventh, giving us an example. And fourthly, benediction. We read, "Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it," which means that he made it a blessing. Now, no other commandment has such enforcement, such reasons or motives, which makes this commandment different. John Wells, the old Puritan, says, "Was not the fourth commandment a standing rule of conformity?" In other words, a moral law for all time. "Else what need of the twisting of so many arguments?" The fifth thing which indicates the importance of the fourth commandment is this, that it has a unique position in the Decalogue. It is at the close of the first table of the law. It sums up at the end in a kind of conclusion, or even I might say a climax, our duty to God. Henry Belfrage, another Scot, says that this suggests in the observance of it the best security will be found for the reverence of God's name, Commandment 3, the most effectual preservative from idolatry, Commandment 2, and superstition, Commandment 1. So it is most importantly placed at the end because it is the guardian, as it were, of the other three. If this nation totally loses the Sabbath, God will not be worshipped. Prescribed worship will be no more. And the fear of his name will depart from the islands. It is the sentinel guarding man's duty to God. Sixthly, it is important because it is sometimes put for the whole law. So important is the Sabbath. If you turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter 56, you read there a prophecy of gospel days. And speaking of believers in gospel days, Isaiah 56:2, "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath day from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil." In that instance, in Isaiah 56:2, the Sabbath is quoted in order to sum up the whole of our duty to God. One commandment representing all the others. And lastly, it is important because it is more frequently repeated in the Scriptures than any other of the Ten Commandments. You'll read of it in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy. You'll read of it in the Prophets. You'll read of it in the New Testament. it is more often repeated than any other. So, to despise it, as men do today, and try to profane it, or to secularize it, I submit to you, is a sin of the deepest hue, because it is violating the chaste virgin of the fourth commandment. And that is a high provocation to Almighty God. The commandment teaches us that time, one day, be set apart for God and for his worship. It teaches us that we are to rest from our secular work, from our secular pleasure. But it is not to be simply a rest, but as we shall see in a moment, a holy rest, called here in question 58, a holy Sabbath. It's not that we stay in bed all day and think that we've sanctified the Sabbath and kept the fourth commandment. That may be rest, but there's nothing holy about it. Holy rest is cessation from worldly activity and pursuit and devotion to divine activity and pursuit in the public and private worship of God. Now, before we leave this question, there are one or two other things I still want to bring from it. The first is the name of this holy time. Let me read to you the answer of answer 58. The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to himself. Now, that is the name of this holy time. What does the word mean in Hebrew? Shabbat. It means rest. A cessation from work, from pleasure, a holy rest for the public and private worship of God. You have that brought out in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 23, the principle here I refer to. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. So you see, the Sabbath is meant to be a day when we stop doing what we do on the 6 days of the week, which includes work, which includes reading the newspaper, perhaps, which includes watching the television. We stop it. In order that it might be for the worship of Almighty God. The second thing under this head is this. It is quite improper to call this day Sunday. The Puritans were adamant about this and sought very hard to change it. Why? Because Sunday is called after the heathen god Sol, or Apollo, the god of the sun. Monday, too, and all the other days of the week, Monday after the God of the moon. It is unlikely we will ever change the other days of the week because they've passed into common parlance, part of our English language. But I think Christian believers have a duty to guard what is God's. The basis of that, Psalm 16, verse 3, I will not take up their names, that's the names of other gods, into my lips. Zephaniah 3, 9, I will turn the people unto a pure language. And the pure language of God's people is one in which his day is not defiled by attributing it to a heathen god, a non-entity of a god, a vanity. What should we then call this day? Personally, I prefer, and I try with a few slips sometimes, but I try to use the word Sabbath. Because that roots my life and my observance of it in the moral law. Now, Lord's Day is acceptable too, and reminds us of the resurrection, but Sabbath grounds our observance in the moral law of God. And if I could wish something for God's people today, it would be that we reintroduce the term Sabbath into the Christian vocabulary and talk about tomorrow is the Sabbath. And what did you do on the Sabbath? Did you have someone around and offer hospitality on the Sabbath? Let's bring it back, because that is the word that the Savior used. The Sabbath, he said, is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And concerning his people, 40 years after his death, he said, pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath. That was the word Christ used. We do well to follow him in that. Now, this Sabbath is a rest to be observed even in the busiest times, no matter what the pressures may be upon us. Listen to this in Exodus 34:21. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. As you know, I was brought up on a farm. I think I can honestly say, apart from duties on the farm which had to be done, like the feeding of livestock and the milking of cows and so on, my father would never attend to a field of hay or corn on the Sabbath day. And I thank God for that example to me as a child. In earing and in harvest, rest. In Exodus 35, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Verse 3, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations. Now the meaning of that is, as most commentators see, a reference to the construction of the tabernacle. There were to be no fires lit for the purposes of melting down metal and refining it on the Sabbath day. No harvest, no construction work, not even on the house of God on the Sabbath day. The only exceptions to such work, which we have noted, are works of necessity and works of mercy, both illustrated by our Lord when he speaks of showing mercy in the synagogue on the Sabbath day to the paralyzed man, and when he illustrates a work of mercy by saying, if your ass falls into a ditch, it is lawful to bring him out on the Sabbath day. It's a work of mercy, of course. But like someone humorously said, if your ass keeps falling in the ditch, then either fill the ditch up or buy another ass. A work of necessity is not to become a rule, if we can possibly avoid it. The name of this holy time, it is the Sabbath day. And it is to be kept for the honor of God's name and for the good of our souls. The name of this holy time, the Sabbath. And we must make it conspicuous that on this day we don't treat it like Saturday. We treat it as God's holy day. And if I could interject a word there to parents, you have a great responsibility to teach your children from the earliest time the difference between the Lord's Day or the Sabbath, and the days which precede it and follow it. I know it's very difficult. But I think myself, and I speak from experience, that when we brought up our children, we might give them a breath of fresh air in the park, but they were never allowed to play on the swings on the Sabbath day, to impress upon those young children that this day was different. We tried also to encourage them in giving them Christian books to read when they were a little bit older, Sabbath books for the Sabbath day. They weren't to continue to read the books that they were reading at the end of the week and wanted to get it finished on the Sabbath day. They were to lay those aside, and they were to read something about God and something about the Word of God and the Savior which God has given. Of course, there are public devotions too and private devotions in the home, and we need those in this busy life. The name of it is Sabbath. Don't forget that. Sabbath, rest. God ceased from all of the works that he had done, and he rested on the Sabbath day. And he is our example. The name of this holy time. Then, secondly, the length of this holy time. Our answer says, expressly, one whole day in seven. Quite right. The Puritans, drawing up this catechism, had it right. One whole day. The argument for that? Well, first of all, if you go back to Genesis 2:2-3, God, having been active on 6 days, he rested the whole of the seventh day. We do not read that he had an afterthought and remembered that he had to do a little bit extra, which was left out on day 4 or day 5, and attended to that. He ceased from all the works that he had done, and the whole day was a day of rest. The same must be true for us. The modern Christian church is blighted with the compromise of people who come out on Sabbath mornings, and I don't know what they do on Sabbath evenings, but they are nowhere to be seen. I know of churches where some 300 to 400 people gather on a Sabbath morning, and in the evening, barely two figures. Where have they gone? The whole day, my friends. The whole day. When we come to the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, this is borne out because 6 days does God give to men and women. Are they 6 parts of days? Or 6 whole days? Are we free to work in the morning, but not in the night? No, 6 whole days. And God says the 7th whole day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. When Moses gave the law, in Leviticus 23:32, he says that men were to keep the Sabbath from evening to evening. That is, from the evening before the Sabbath day to the end of the Sabbath day. The whole day was to be kept. We have a psalm which in the Hebrew is called a psalm for the Sabbath. I hope you know which one it is. It's Psalm 92. And the title of it says, a psalm or song for the Sabbath. And how does it proceed? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. The whole day, morning worship, evening worship, the whole day is the Lord's. The Sabbath is to be kept holy to God. A holy Sabbath to himself. Calvin, reflecting upon the fourth commandment in the law, says that those words mean that we are to keep this day holy, not a part of it. We are being influenced all the time by the world and also by what is known as the Continental Sunday. When I went to Singapore, we had a conference there with the church, and I was told, I was given my order for the week and where I would be, with whom I would be, and on the Sabbath day it said, you will be with Dr. and Mrs. So-and-so for lunch. And I suspected nothing. I thought, very kind of Dr. and Mrs. So-and-so to have us for lunch. And so after the morning service, we prepared to align ourselves with this very gracious couple, who proceeded then to take us in the car to one of Singapore's most expensive restaurants. Lunch with Dr. So-and-so, to my dismay, meant that he was treating me to lunch on the Sabbath day. It was an extremely difficult circumstance. I didn't want to be offensive. I judged at the time it was best to say nothing, but to make sure that if ever this happened again, we would read the small print. And I'm sure that was the charitable thing to do. But both Jill and I felt very uncomfortable being in that restaurant on a Sabbath day. The whole day. There is a verse in Malachi 3 which has always challenged me. Will a man rob God? Every time you do your thing on the Sabbath, you rob God of what is His. Even if it's a little thing, it's theft. That hour on the computer does not belong to you. It belongs to God Almighty. And He's given that time to you to glorify Him and to sanctify your own souls. The name of this holy time, the length of this holy time, and lastly, the purpose of this holy time. It's there at the end of the answer to question 58. One whole day, the point just made, in seven, to be a holy Sabbath. Now mark these final words. To Himself. That means when we keep a Sabbath day, it is not just that your body needs a rest. It does. And it's a kind, benevolent provision of the Creator to prescribe this in the moral law. It is rather, however, that God needs His honor, which too often is denied Him. And the Sabbath is kept to Himself. The keeping of it honors God. I love to arrive at this church and look up Wilton Road and see you all coming down to the chapel. It's a testimony to a godless generation. It's a testimony that these people fear God and keep His commandments. It honors God. And we honor Him, of course, as we enter this place. We sing His psalms. We offer our prayers. We hearken to His pure word. And all this our tribute of worship. Because we recognize God. And we are His people. To Himself. There is a subsidiary point. It is not only for the honor of God, but it is for the holiness of his people. I preach it a duty to keep the Sabbath. But I preach it every way desirable that you keep the Sabbath. For your own soul's good. For your nurture in spiritual things, you can't afford to be without a Sabbath. Not 1 week in 52 can you afford to be without a Sabbath. Because all too soon, life reaches its terminus. All too soon, we pass out of this world into eternity. All too soon, we stand before the face of God Almighty, and we prepare for that day. And we need every Sabbath in our calendar. If God kept the Sabbath, in keeping it, we become like him. And that, my friends, is the end for every Christian. To be like him. His likeness. That is the purpose of this holy time. To honor God. And to sanctify ourselves. And if there is a query yet, and say, someone says, but you haven't mentioned the roast. I haven't mentioned the roast because it doesn't come into the picture. Let the roast burn if it will, but keep the Sabbath day. It is the fourth commandment of God's law. Amen.